brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Indeed, it is time for more suds here on Sip Suds and Smokes, where we talk about everything good in life that is worth discussing. This is a sud segment. I am your host, one of your hosts here today, good old boy Mike. And joining me here at the table are some people that really made poor choices today. Yeah, good old boy Sean.
What's a poor choice in drinking beer?
It's the quantity of lube usually involved with most of the decision-making process.
Here we go.
And 3 seconds in and the lube party starts.
Joining us again is a good old boy, Dave.
It's as smooth as a buttered child.
Is it a pre-shave lube? You know. Good old gal, Juliana.
Hi, this is a minute part of a 12-step program.
Hi, my name's Juliana. My favorite kind
step
of blue
six
is...
and a half.
I'm still on step one.
Never admit that you sat at a table with us. Good old boy Kendall is with us.
It's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so some of you don't always know the background of... So Kendall's like the walking, you know, Cicerone, you know, advanced... Knows every, you know, question about beer you'd ever want to know. Sean has screwed up at least like 413 beer recipes as a brewer. So is that close? Is that close?
More like 420.
Okay, all right.
Hey-o.
Well, today's sud segment is all about beer, beer, and more beer. And we have a really, you know, this is a style we haven't done. So we had a plan and the plan fell apart. And so this is a grab bag show.
Grab bag.
So literally, good old boy Dave has just walked into his beer cellar and just selected 4 or 5 beers at random. We're just going to pass them around. We're going to pour them and we're going to taste and rate these beers as we go along. I have no idea what he has pulled at all. It's something lactose infused of some kind.
All the ones that that look that little bit of crust right on top of the
I thought you were getting all the raspberry beers,
wow.
Dave.
Man. A born on date of 2017.
That's why you should be in charge. You
know? Yeah. All raspberries all the time.
This could have been an all raspberry
Mike
show.
Loves nothing more than raspberry beer.
Oh, well, that is
he loves
is,
raspberries and lube.
This is that episode. This is a
raspberry
grab
lube.
There we go.
I think maybe that's what happened. Someone hurt Mike with some raspberry lube at some point and it impacted his beard.
It's just a mental thing. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Well, yeah, somebody said, hey, there's a pole with raspberry lube on it. You should lick it. And of course,
his tongue stuck.
Right.
So our process today is that, good old gal Juliana is going to be pouring beers. We're going to be tasting them. We may or may not know what they are. Then we'll discuss our tasting notes and rate them up today. So
she's the beer
that's
maiden.
Kind of our general process. Good old boy Kendall is going to tell us our suds ratings that we'll be using for today.
Or good old boy Dave could.
I think Dave's
I'm sorry,
got
good old boy
one.
Dave. Yeah. I'm sorry, yes.
We'll be tasting and discussing these beers today and giving our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a raspberry Bud Light. 2.
Raspberry hard seltzer.
Was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. 5, the greatest of all ratings. Listen to that hang time, give me another.
Along the way today, thank you, good old boy Dave. I'm sorry.
Remember them all.
You hit the applause button. I mean, seriously, you know, you could.
I don't have an applause button.
You don't have an applause button? All right. He's looking for it. There we go. Well, there, along the way, we're going to have some tales of talking about the aspect of what are pasteurized eggs, and we'll have a small conversation as well from good old boy Dave, which was on, I forgot, I'm brain dead.
Alcohol-free gin.
Yeah, there is it. Alcohol-free gin. So we'll see if we can get to both those topics today as well. Well, let's talk about our first beer. Let's get pouring and sipping for sure. I just am so fearful what Dave went and pulled, man.
Dude, you should know I give all the crappy brother beers to my brother.
Oh, so okay.
I don't hold.
You give
on
all
to
the
that.
Crappy brothers your beer.
Yes,
crappy brothers your beer. I like that.
Wow.
So this one,
crappy beer to my crappy brother.
No, this one I purchased, and I was really excited about your beer of the year. So I wanted to get, remember your beer of the year last year?
Last year?
Like for 2020?
It's from Westbrook.
Oh yeah, it was, yes, sorry. Okay. It was from Westbrook.
June.
Yeah, June. Yes. That okay. was her beer of the year.
No. What was yours?
It was mine?
Yeah. It was yours. Okay. It was yours. I just was really impressed by it.
Yeah, that I pronounced Juan in that episode. What I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay. So what we are tasting is from Westbrook in
Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Yes. This is Joie, I think. It's a Sauternes barrel aged Saison. Mixed fermentation Saison aged 1 year in a Sauternes cask. Bright gold color with notes of honey, lemon, and ripe pineapple funk. Bottled in 2016, ABV is only 7%. And there's a lot of Pilsner malt in here.
That pineapple is interesting.
So my first reaction would be, I think aging any beer in a Sauternes barrel is, this is a bad idea.
Wait, what is Sauternes?
Sauternes is an incredibly sweet grape.
Okay, that's what's doing that to this.
And I just really think it would be very difficult for any beer to be able to compete with a Sauternes. So
this beer is very sweet.
It is. It is. It is incredibly sweet and very wine-like.
Yeah,
very.
Getting a lot of honey. I don't know if that's just my mind playing tricks with me based on the sweetness, but
it's the sugar component, around this that's interplaying with the, the residual sugar that's inherent within Sauternes.
This just reminds me of tea. I like this.
Strange is it has like this dry thing, this drying component that is in the middle of the taste profile, but it finishes out sweet. So it's really, it's like a head.
It really is.
It's like a head fake.
That is an odd thing because usually when a beer's that dry in the middle, I'm thinking it's going to get super dry and it goes the other direction.
Yeah. Huh. So some of those sugars are riding all the way to the end.
Very much.
Yeah, they are.
Like the tannins are in the middle and then the.
Yeah, it reminds me of, tea with like those lemon lollipops and you swirl the lollipop in your hot tea to like distribute the honey in there. But then if you're greedy and you can't wait long enough, then you like take a sip. You suck on the lollipop for a minute. So that sweetness of the honey at the end, that's where it comes into play. I don't know. I kind of dig it. I mean, it's not normal.
It's growing on me quick.
But I kind of dig it.
I think you have a thousand things going through your mind there.
A lot of things go through my mind. Yeah, no, I'm definitely getting the honey notes. The wine barrel notes are coming through really nicely on this, I think. But it's definitely somewhat of a distraction, but then it ends up working out for me. I'm digging in. I think if this was just a little bit warmer, it we'd get a little more complexity out of it, but I'm not complaining either.
I'm going to leave a little bit left in my cup till later.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the current temperature, it's really cold, and so I think it's obscuring some of the sugars and some of the aromatic components of this that I think would come around if it maybe came up to room temperature. So, I think just let this sit here on our trays.
It's got a hint of funk, but I think the same thing. As this gets warmer, it's going to get funkier.
Yeah. I am getting a touch of the barrel itself. And so some of the wood, is coming through on this. I think the one thing I would definitely say is I've never had a beer that's like that. It is unique. So that is incredibly unique. And I love this series that Westbrook is doing.
Oh my gosh, I got to do more.
Between the June and this, it's like... So one of my favorite beers of all time is actually from Westbrook, which is an Old Grumpy that was finished off in the apple brandy barrel. If they don't go back and make that again, I may just buy the whole brewery just so they would make that
beer. I thought you were going to say Mexican wedding cake.
It was just so amazing. And I think the only thing I was disappointed is I only had two bottles of that beer and I drank them both. It was such a great beer. But I see that this is going down the same path of complexity, you know, where they're really taking to heart a lot of their barrel aging program. And they're not afraid to work with things that nobody else has done. So I love that.
Yeah, I'm curious. What's the age? Do we know the age of this bottle? Because
it was bottled in 2016.
Okay, so it's had some time to develop. So
about 3 to 4 years from, or a little bit longer than where we're sitting, you know.
Or when 4 to 5.
When we're recording this. So, Sean, if I told you we were making a beer and dropping it in a Sauternes barrel, what would be your first reaction?
My first reaction is, what's a Sauternes barrel? But now that we've explained that, I had a little experience. I ended up barrel aging, doing a barrel aged Berliner Weiss in some red wine barrels, and that turned out really nice. And there's a lot of notes that I'm getting from that reminds me of that beer that I did.
Interesting. Yeah. So really, I love the innovation, you know, kind of coming off this. And I look forward to what else they're going to be doing, you know, at Westbrook with this series.
I love Westbrook, man. They make so – they're just – I have beers that I like less than other beers that they make.
It's the best American Goza.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And it's nice we can get it in Nashville now.
Well, our suds rating here for the name of the beer
Jolie is
going to be a 4. I can't wait to finish the rest of this that's in my glass for sure. And
I'm letting mine warm up and looking forward.
I'm going to set this on the tray and let it warm up a bit for sure. Well, a really good beer coming out of the start of our grab bag episode. So
grab bag,
come back right after the break. We got more beer.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Suds episode, it's a grab bag episode.
Grab bag!
And good old boy Dave has just literally walked into the cellar.
Get your hands off my bag.
Grab 5 or 6 things, and we're opening up, tasting these in real time, and rating these up. So, Our first beer was actually from Westbrook. It was Jolie, and it was a beer that was finished off in a Sauternes barrel. Really fascinating.
And
so,
Julie, I told you we should have given the crappy ones.
So our next beer is going to be?
Our next beer is Escoffier from Brewery.
I'm not going to say that 3 times fast.
From Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids. It's also part of a collaboration series, and I believe this might be with New Belgium. This was bottled in August of 2017.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's part of their Plain de Vie series of wood and wild fermentation project. Anyways, so this beer... is
beautiful.
Yes. Very beautiful.
Have I know, some of your tasty beverage to wash this down.
So it's a Breda ale. It was packaged with live yeast and will continue to develop and mature with time, age up to 5 years. So we're doing well.
Right on the money.
What a gorgeous color.
It's almost like you start with a Belgian, a lighter Belgian double, give it a little funk and give it a little sourness and let nature works a magic, and it is delightful.
Let Brie Vivant work their magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very tasty.
Yeah, it's very indicative of a very typical fooder, you know, beer. And I, you know, I guess when you said this was a New Belgian collaboration, I mean, the first thing that, you know, is in my mind is just the sea of fooders, you know, at the New Belgian facility in Colorado. And, you know, I'm really picking up, you know, a lot of characteristic of the fooder itself is bringing a lot around. The bread is really providing a tremendous amount of the body component, I think, of this beer. And the color is really fascinating. This is like a light red. So it looks great even in the glasses that we're using today. Dave, what'd you think?
It's carb just enough. I like this nice fruity notes to it. Hint of the wood from the barrel. And it brings me back to when we visited the brewery. It was like one of the a really fun trip that we took. And I like that it's not too much of anything. It's just a very smooth, easy drinking beer. What was the ABV on it again? 75?
No.
Yeah,
no,
for those of you listening out there, it's 10%.
Wow.
10%, man. This does not drink like a 10%.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No heat. It's just smooth.
For those of you listening out there that haven't been to Brewery Vivant, Dave is right. Just one sip of this took me right back to their beer hall. It's just, talk about just a wonderful place, wonderful food, wonderful people.
Kind of creepy because it used to be a funeral home, but they turned it into...
Yeah.
A really cool space.
Where the pulpit would be is where the bar is at,
which
makes total sense.
Well, and wasn't it a combination church and...
Well, there was a chapel.
Yeah, there was a chapel and a funeral home.
But
with the vaulted ceilings and there was like that room off to the side that had like that living moss artistic-y thing going on.
The living wall kind of
thing. It was good. I mean, great place. Great place.
The embalming tanks that you could shotgun out of. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, totally.
What is it? Duck fat nachos, I believe, is there.
Ooh, yes. With this. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I
think that sounds so gross.
But I think that would be a great pairing with this. Well, our Suds rating here for the beer called...
Escoffier
from Vivant.
Brewery Vivant.
Is going to be a 4.
Mm. I'll save a bit of that. Let it warm too.
Really, definitely. Yeah.
So I will say all these were out in a beer fridge. So I didn't pull anything out of
it. Okay.
But just so everybody knows, like a lot of times if you have these beers like this, you should, you know, if you have time and good old boy Mike's not making you pull them out right away.
Wait,
give them a little time to sit out, to
pull something out.
Hey, lube, baby,
raspberry lube.
Yeah, if you can give them a little bit of time to come up, you know, not straight up to room temperature, but you know, in the 50s, you're good.
Cellar temp.
There you go.
The next beer is making its way around.
Oh, it is. Oh. Yeah,
she's coming around the mountain.
So, from this offering is from Gujari Tilquin. And this is their stout, but it's not just your normal stout.
Because Tilquin would never make a normal.
No. This is a 7% ABV brown ale that is brewed in collaboration with Brasserie Artisanale de Roules. And forgive me if I butcher that. They're from Wallonie, Belgium, which is in the same area that... Tilquin is from.
Dude, if they wanted you to say their name right, they would have made it easier to say. Well,
they would put it in English.
Yeah.
So, this is a beer of mixed fermentation. The stout Rulquin is obtained from a blending of 7/8 of Rules Brune and 1/8 of a blend of a 1-year-old lambic, which has been matured for 8 months in an oak barrel.
Interesting.
Unfiltered, unpasteurized, unadulterated. And this is where we're at.
Like, I don't know why you call this a stout, but
yeah, this is about a billion miles away from being a stout for sure. The underpinnings of the roasted malt are don't really jump out at you like they would with a stout. I think it's more of they probably just used some roasted malt and they were like, well, you know,
hey, Irish, you want to know how to make a stout? Yeah. Boom, this is what we do.
I'm not saying this is a bad choice. I'm just saying that for those of you that are looking for those big, you know, booming imperial stouts, you know, that are have all these roasted malts, this is not it. This is even better.
There's definitely that roasty note that floats like right along just under the surface. But
to me, it's kind of like tobacco. It's
almost like
a little bit.
But to take an oud brun and mix it with a 1-year-old lambic?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant idea.
Shaved a lot of the bite off of it, you know?
Well, I know that both good old boy Kendall and I are huge fanboys of, you know, Tilquin. So what makes them so very different than many of the other Belgian brewers that are making, you know, goose is that they're actually blending from a lot of other breweries, and they're one of the few places that, you know, are taking that approach. And absolutely one of my all-time favorite gousets is the Quintessence, which is just an amazing, you know, beer. But I love the innovation, you know, kind of around this. I would have never have made some of those choices, you know, to kind of slap this stuff together. And so I'm just tasting it for what it is, and I'm really enjoying that it's bright, it's fresh, it has everything that you would think you would have in a 1-year gousset, but it's actually tempered by a lot of the sugars are making this a lot softer, and the chocolate malt is providing a hint of bitterness to kind of bring around and actually works well in harmony with the goose that's in this.
Yeah, I love this. This should be a style of its own. Other breweries should be making this.
I wouldn't call it a stout. What would you call this? You wouldn't call it a dark gousset. I mean, you know.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, why not?
Something like that.
That or
niche gousset. How about that? I like that.
Cascadian gousset?
No.
I just call it delicious. Boy. What a beer.
A black gousset.
Yeah. It really kind of is.
Yeah.
How do you think this idea came together, Sean?
Only those wacky Belgians can tell us.
I was just about to say, what dartboard was somebody throwing?
So do you think it was...
We're going to take this, and we're going to take this, and then magic.
Hey, what are you going to do with those 40 pounds of chocolate malt in the bin? You're like,
Maybe it was like that. Those old Reese's peanut butter commercials where, you know, like the guy is eating his peanut butter, and the other guy's eating his chocolate, and they bump into each other. It's like, you put your stout in my gousset. You put your gousset in my stout.
I think they were probably... You had two guys at the two breweries sitting around late at night, drinking a lot, and they had this crazy idea. It's like, hey, what if we blended our beers? I think it's
leftover ingredients. Yeah, totally.
They were drinking a Guinness and a Cantillon. They were like,
Juliana, what do you think?
Well, what if Tilquin came over to the other place, you know, with this young lambic, and is kind of like, this is some interesting...
We've got 400 gallons of this left. Yeah. You know, what do you want to do with it?
No, like, I'm just starting out, because it's only been aged for, like, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. So... You know, kind of like bringing it over as a sample of like, hey, this is a young thing. What do you think? Meanwhile, they've got their other thing, you know, and they tossed it together. It's ingenious, really. But again, Belgians are kind of known for really thinking outside the box, and how you could take something with that barnyard funkiness and, you know, taking it to a whole new level with any beer style.
Well, stouts are your favorite. So like, what do you think in those terms?
I love it because, yes, I do love stouts, and I do love making a really good stout, but it gets so sweet and it gets so complex that you almost lose sight of it, and you're like, oh, only once a year, and that's about it. But this, I could drink this any time of year, because even though it's dark, it's still approachable, and it's really yummy, really, really yummy.
Wow. Our rating for this beer from Tilquin, which is called, once again?
They're stout.
The stout is stout going Tilquin. To be a Sudge rating of 4.
Also, you know what? It'll probably turn out it was some intern that was supposed to be transferring stuff from one thing to another, and he hit the wrong... Mm.
So
happy accident is what you're saying.
This conversation I was having with good old boy Jason this week was we were having a conversation with his friend about how eggs are different, you know, in the U.S. And so I was like, this is a topic worthy of discussion. You know, so he was betting his friend. He was like, look, the eggs are completely different, you know, in the U.S. because we pasteurize all the eggs, you know, in the U.S. So you don't really get, you know, what the true essence of the eggs, just like milk is all pasteurized, you know, here in the U.S. So we screwed everything up by pasteurizing everything. He's like, no, I don't think eggs are pasteurized. And so we had this long 20-minute discussion, which we're not going to have again today, you know, about whether all eggs are pasteurized or not. And so, of course, I had to jump in the conversation and go, well, what about the Amish eggs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, are they pasteurized without any mechanical, you know, process, you know?
Steam pasteurized.
Yeah. It's like, well, steam would be, you know, mechanically, you know, manipulating it.
Well, my mom.
Making light of fire and makes
how do the Amish pasteurize their eggs?
My mom, they have some chickens, you know, and so. A, you know, they come out, you know, the shells are not all bright white, you know, so you get some brown eggs, you get some, you might get more yolk here, a little bit, you know, here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, plus they, you know, the way they breed the chickens in most of the houses or, you know, farms, they're going to keep them the same. But I think, you know, you can get some variations and stuff, but, you know, I don't know that you're losing a whole lot.
Yeah, so that was going to be my question, which is, do you think that, you know, first off, do you think all the eggs are pasteurized? And have you tasted, you know, non-pasteurized eggs, and are they really dramatically different?
There's definitely more flavor, but I think that's with, like, with anything. Like,
yep, farm fresh eggs are better.
Well, and, like, you know, also if you think, like, those...
But are Amish farm fresh eggs?
What are they called? Those are the best.
What are they called, like, heirloom...
Heirloom chickens.
No, no, for real. They're the ones you pass down. There are the ones that are not as fattened up and stuff, so they do taste a little rangier.
Hey,
they taste
more like dark meat. I'm the heirloom chicken.
Yeah, they're a little gamier, you know. And people tend to shy away from some of that flavor, you know.
Huh. Interesting. In our
subdued American palate.
So we do pay like an extra $2 a dozen, you know, just for the farm fresh eggs or the Amish eggs.
No, I'm not going to pay $2 extra for a possible case of salmonella.
Have you seen the chickens that lay the Easter eggs?
What?
Yeah, there's a certain type of chickens.
I thought that was a rabbit.
Their eggs. You're thinking of the Cadbury Bunny, and those are chocolate. No, they lay blue and green eggs. Many of you know our friend Shane, in the one of the beer guys here in town. He's got a bunch of chickens, and he has some that lay for a variety of colors of eggs.
Blue, it's green, blue, green, brown.
But the blue and the green ones are the crazy ones.
Where do you put that on your resume? I am the one that owns the chicken that lays the blue eggs.
You get the chicken that lays the striped eggs. You got something there.
Yeah. I could harass him so bad about that next time. Shane, the master of blue eggs.
There's a Chiba Motto joke for those that know the band in there that I know my chicken, you don't know your chicken.
Wow. Yeah,
if you get bored, look up that song. It's pretty entertaining, as with most Chiba Motto songs.
I knew if I took us down this rabbit hole, we would get chocolate eggs. All right, so with that, let's hear about our next beer.
Oh, wow. Okay. The next beer is from Poughkeepsie, New York, and we actually did talk about this beer once, but we wanted to see. I remember after the episode,
that show did not go the way we thought it would go. Those beers were not all as well received as we thought.
Right, but we also after the end of the show, we thought, hey, let's set a few of these back and then see what they would be like in a couple years. So this particular one that we were having from Plan B is called Moonshed. Mm. It's a spontaneous ale that's brewed with heirloom corn grown on their farm, and it's aged in oak.
Were there heirloom chickens involved?
Yes.
There probably were heirloom
chickens. They picked the corn.
Yeah.
What color were their eggs?
Pink.
Were they corn colored?
Maybe.
Like candy corn.
So I think the Plan B episode was, is it worth it or not, right? I think it was. I think that
might
was.
Might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were some pretty far out there beers.
Because these beers were like $40 each or something crazy like that, right? No?
No. Okay. No, these weren't. That was the Ale Alchemy
Okay.
Or whatever.
All right.
But Juliana went to the farm And actually, we first met those people at the State of Origin Festival in North Carolina, the Fonta Flora Festival, which mm-hmm. was amazing. And their beers are outstanding. But they have their own farm. I think they have their own bees. They grow their own.
Everything is like off the land.
They make everything there.
So what do you guys think of this wine? I mean, what do you think of this beer?
It's only 5.5% ABV.
Yeah. It's very
it's tart. Belgian-y. Yeah, tart, a little bit of funk. Yeah, wine-like for sure.
Yeah.
It softens nicely at the end. What do you think, Sean?
I was just 5.5% explains why I was thinking it might be a little, I wouldn't say watery, but definitely lighter body.
Yeah.
Compared to what we've been consuming.
Definitely has that sweet tart, kind of drying,
I'm not getting component. Puckering, though.
No, but that bad.
Yeah.
Sweet tart's a good way to describe it because you do get that sweet sweetness tart. In the middle.
It's I very love a good sweet tart like. Beer. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting is that I don't know that I would describe it nearly presented as a fooder based or a barrel based, sour. It's tasting a bit more like a kettle sour to me, where it's just, I don't know, I'm not tasting
it's any. It's lacking some dimension.
Yeah. I'm not tasting any wood, with this, I think is, the easy way.
Lube get in the way?
I think you're right. It's the thinness, the light body really makes it feel more like a kettle sour. You're not getting the complexity you get from the bugs you usually get in a wild ale.
Yeah. Well, what's your rating for this going to be? All right. Our Sud's rating here for the beer from Plan B that is called
Moonshed.
Moonshed.
Moonshed is going to be a 3. Wow. Interesting how all of these it's going to be interesting to let these sit and come to room temperature, so in our next segment maybe we'll come back and revisit some of the four beers that we've had. We'll come back in our next segment. We've got some more beers and another fascinating topic to talk about. So have you had any good non-alcoholic gin lately? For sure. We'll be right back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Suds episode, this is a grab bag episode where good old boy Dave has just literally wandered into his cellar and picked five or six beers here.
I wander around a lot.
And we've had a lot of fun with some of the beers that we've gone through so far. I'm looking forward to our next beer, which is Juliana's going to introduce that for us.
This one is called Marie's Rendezvous.
Ah.
Any idea where with a name like that?
She's a scandalous little
raspberry something.
Tart.
Is she now? Well, what do we know about her?
She had
her?
A rendezvous with somebody.
Look at that cap. That's pretty cool. No, this is from Germany.
Ah.
Cue good old boys, Mike, German
and accent. It's very good. It pours like a German beer. Yes, it does, yes. Because it's from
German beer or the French
it's
name.
From this is Schneidweiss, yes?
Exactly, see, from Schneidweiss. See.
You can't make fun of me anymore today after that move.
Yeah.
Uno Schneidweiss.
So this is a Doppelbock. This is 10% ABV. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a new noble wheat beer for pure enjoyment of outstanding intensity and opulence to commemorate the 500th anniversary of your favorite word, Rhinite Skaboot. Isn't that cool?
You cannot see through this beer.
Full-bodied with soft sweetness, complex fruitiness, fine peppery flavor, and courageous strength.
So, interesting. This has been held just a little too long. The carb is gone off this, but that didn't bother me.
I got carb.
Mine's carby.
Very little carby.
Yeah, mine's very little carb. Yeah. It's a little low.
But all of the essence of the beer, you know, is definitely there. I mean, the caramel malt, caramel is really, you know, coming through. This is totally, you know, right in the heart of Doppelbach City for sure.
There's not a lot of off flavor.
No.
Coming in. It's just caramel and toffee. You get that sweetness, but it finishes surprisingly dry for as sweet as this beer is.
I almost want to put some Lederhosen on with this.
It's 10%, man.
This is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But did you see there is wheat in the grist?
Which is not
common for Doppelbach.
Yeah, right. So that I'm guessing that this is very soft, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I would think that, you know, most Doppelbachs are, you know, it's like I'm here, you know, in your mouth, and it's like, you know,
that's what she said.
It's very present, you know, kind of a taste profile. This has a lot softer component to it, and I don't know if that's just the aging component around it, but the finish off this is very soft, and it just kind of, it's rolling off the back of
it. Could
the taste
be the
profile.
Wheat, yeah, right? I mean, the wheat would soften it.
The wheat would soften it a lot. And then also for the lack of carbonation, there's not any oxidation. That's the big key on this is that it's definitely not. You know,
well, and it's no got cardboard. That little extra thingy on the cap. That's why I was like, ooh, look at the cap. You don't see that. Right. Yeah.
I think we probably had it like right at the right time to. Before it maybe started really dipping off, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think if you'd held this another year, I think you'd be sitting here going, "Oh man, I just held it a little too long."
I'm getting just a hint of it, Sean. Yeah. Just a hint of oxidation. Now, I think Dave's spot on. If you let this beer go another year, it's going to taste like cardboard.
How old is this that you've had it? It tastes like 3 or 4 years to me.
Hell, I don't know.
any good guess?
Well,
that would be my
Somebody
guess.
Can, here, Sean, take a look. You might see. Sean will find it.
Somebody with better eyes.
So this is saying from 2016.
So five year rule.
So a little bit longer than, you know, what I thought. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Wheat Doppelbach at 10%.
I think the fact that the high ABV helped it out quite a bit.
Oh, sure. Yes. I agree. If it had been, you know, any lower, I don't think it would have held up, you know, even another month.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't know who Marie had a rendezvous with, but I think they had a good time.
So what do you guys think of this one? What's your rating going to be? Interesting.
Wow.
I am going to split hairs and call it a 4. Such rating of 4 off this. From Schneider Weiss, their Doppelbach.
Good job, Schneider.
Mary's Revenge, is that what it's called?
Marie's Rendezvous.
Well, yeah.
Marie's Revenge.
That was so close.
Mary's Revenge is,
if we waited
a couple of months and then drank this.
There probably is a beer called Mary's Revenge.
Couple this with one of the silliest ideas that we saw coming to the market was a non-alcoholic gin that's coming out from Tanqueray.
Yeah.
What is going on?
That's becoming a thing, though. It's like there's so many, you know, it's freaking millennials. you know, they want seltzer.
I like how we've lost an entire demographic in one statement.
It's like they don't want, you know, that we never had them. It's like they want seltzer. They, you know, they don't want alcohol. They want low carbs, blah, blah, blah. So I want to drink a cocktail, but I don't want to have alcohol. It's like,
How is that possible?
Exactly. Why don't you just have a fruit juice and call it even?
So I read a little bit about these Tanqueray 0.0. And basically, they take all the same botanicals like angelica and juniper and sweet licorice, and they immerse them in water. And then so basically, they make a tea out of each thing and then distill it and turn that into water So flavored water, bottled water.
How much is a bottle of this fake Tanqueray?
Probably $70 or
something. Wait, I'm sorry. I got lost in the... You distill a tea. How do you... There's no sugar there. I mean, what's going to ferment out? Well,
but I think what it is probably more or less you're boiling off the water.
The water.
Cooking off the water.
Where's the sugar?
It's almost like you're creating essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
So distilling, you're thinking...
You're not in your head, Sean, like you know what's going on.
You're thinking fermenting. So you need sugars for fermentation.
Yeah, how would you like that challenge for next week?
All you need is volatile oils.
Oh, by the way, let's make a non-alcoholic whiskey.
I mean, that is the interesting part about distilling is the oils that do come through in the distillation process.
When you make gin, that's why you load all those botanicals
with alcohol
because you're
and sugar
pushing through. You know, I don't know, man. I'm not defending it.
In the halls of bad ideas, I'm going to give this a 5.
But I just really want to know what they're selling it for, because if they're getting 30, 40 bucks a bottle, they're brilliant.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because you're not having to pay the taxes on alcohol.
Right. Like,
right. It's undistilled alcohol.
It's like fancy La Croix.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not even carbing it. So like you don't even have to pay the price. That.
Why would you sell that in a liquor store then? I mean, why can't you just get, you know, zero alcohol Tanqueray at, like, you know, the local gas station? Just
put it with all the juice boxes for kids.
I mean, who distributes that? Would it be, you know, would it still have to go through a 3-tier distribution system? The
Kool-Aid man.
In the U.S.? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good legal question. You know, if you have a non-alcoholic beverage, you know, that's produced by a spirits maker, would you have to distribute it through a 3-tier?
Well, and also, if you're a liquor store and you're putting that in your store, what
message are you sending to your customers? Who, I'm a moron.
Who is losing shelf space to that?
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
yeah. Maybe, get the zero alcohol gin. That one's the best.
Yeah, we're gonna make a mint off this. You know.
Has anyone come up with the concept of a bar that serves nothing but NA beer and or spirits?
Yes, it does exist. Yes. Wow. They also serve gluten-free beer and flavor-free everything, you know, there. So, yes.
Gluten-free pizza.
Of course, it's in California where somebody, you know, has just spent all day thinking about this. Right. I'm going to send
California rolls.
I'm going to send over like 3 dozen lard biscuits to this place and introduce these people to flavor.
So, at what point did they just have a bar where you go and look at pictures of stuff? You know, like you don't even get a mocktail; you just look at a picture of an old fashioned.
Those are called art galleries.
Yeah, it's called aviary, which is you can't afford anything.
Most art galleries, you don't have to pay $15 a pop. A
shot out of one of the pot, you know, still. So, all right. So our next beer is going to be from Urban Artifact. Tell us all about this one here, Juliana.
Okay, so this is vintage 2017. This is called the Milkman Pastry Stout.
I had to get you some lactose at some point in the show.
Right.
And so, it's a nice choice coming off the Doppelbach, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sweet to sweet.
Look, you know, I did this for a reason. So this thing is...
She wanted it out of the fridge.
Is brewed with...
It's not the garbage show. It's a grab bag show.
Grab bag.
It's brewed with maple syrup, molasses, coffee, almonds, cinnamon, vanilla beans, more vanilla beans, and more cinnamon.
That's
so this is from 2017. Is this like the beginning of the pastry stout thing? It's the beginning of
an early era for beer but making.
Actually, I think I kind of like this. I have a feeling this beer fresh would have been too much.
Bad. Right. Yeah.
I mean, everything has kind of muted and
settled down a bit.
And I kind of like what's going on. Yeah. I wouldn't drink the whole bottle, but
I like the cinnamon in this because it's subtle.
Yeah.
And considering that they probably were very heavy-handed with it in the beginning, this is,
I think it's a glass of things that don't work together at all. Not in harmony. They're not in balance. There's just so many things going on. I think the cinnamon actually is off-putting big time for me. I think the thing that I don't understand is all this fruit. that is in this, there is all these fruit overtones. There's like pear, there's like a cranberry there, you know, and I'm like, there is, that just doesn't work with any of the rest of this. It is just a cornucopia of a bad idea.
So I need to make Mike a raspberry cinnamon beer.
There you go.
That's the only thing I got out of
there. There you go, I guess.
A raspberry cinnamon pastry stout.
Blue.
Oh my gosh, this is so bad. Yeah. I really don't like this at all.
I mean, yeah, I can't go that far down in my review.
It's like cola. It's like a really, it's like a flat RC that somebody jammed a peach into it.
And gone to see its maker.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not far off.
Yeah. Flat RC cola that has a peach, a wedge of peach shoved into it.
And a moon pie.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
That's the thing, by the way, RC Cola and moon pies. Yeah. It's a huge thing in the South, especially here in Tennessee.
Now, Sean, you came here from the Midwest, right?
Yep. Been here 26 years now, but yeah.
Claim me as local.
Was it an adjustment to having moon pies and biscuits? RC?
No, because there were RC Cola was definitely a thing where I grew up. I mean, it wasn't like huge, but it was still like you saw it around.
You were aware.
Yeah, I was aware. As I recall, the teacher's lounge at my mom's school had an RC Cola machine in the teacher's lounge. So, yeah. And then I'd heard of moon pies at some point, but I don't think I'd ever had one until I got here.
Oh, this beer should have been served out of that machine.
Teachers would have been really happy.
All right. What's going to be your rating for this? Oh, my God. I can't even go that far.
You know, I'm...
Really? I'm going to call it and say our rating here for the Urban Artifact milkshake, you know, milkman from hell is going to be a such rating of 2.
Mike took executive producer privilege.
Right yeah, there. Sorry. I'm going to... That was not my rating, by the way. So... my personal rating.
We don't have that number
on
our soundboard.
That's correct. All right. Well, if you've been following along with all of our grab bag beers, we've had 5.
Grab bag.
And we got one more to go here.
Right? So we have one left. And this is, I've saved the best for last.
This is from, okay. So this was not in the flight yesterday.
Huh? No, this was not in a flight
yesterday.
This was
a gift from good old boy Caperton. So it did not come from our long-term storage facility.
We have enough time to talk this up? All right.
We do. Fine. Rye barley wine from Zebulon in Weaverville, North Carolina. It's a rye-based barley wine aged in Sagamore Spirits rye barrels.
This is going to be a challenge for me because... I am not a fan of rye, and I'm not a fan of barley wines. So,
blasphemy!
Who are you?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I will try it, and I keep trying barley wines, thinking I'm going to find the one that's just going to open up, you know, and let the light shine down from the heavens.
Is there a cereal that you like?
So do you not like Bigfoot? It's okay. I mean, actually, I will say that I had a Bigfoot that had been aged a good 10 years that I did enjoy. Actually, it was a Bigfoot with a in a twist-off bottle. Like it wasn't a twist-off cap, but it was like, I don't know if Sierra Nevada had a bottle source issue or whatever. But
no, they did twist off for a little minute. For a minute there.
I did really enjoy it. So maybe I just need to wait a good 10 years on every barley wine I try. And
it's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. That's almost...
Nerd alert!
I would say of both a combination of the barley wines as well as the strong ales as well as the Dogfish Head, what is the green cap? The 120 minute.
120,
I hold all those things at least 5 years.
I will say when Turtle Anarchy, that was a local brewery here in Nashville, when they did their Another Way to Rye IPA, I did enjoy the rye. They balanced that really nice with the hops. But as a general rule, I don't like rye bread.
Kendall, what do you think of this?
I like it.
Hoppy,
yeah, I enjoy it.
Hoppy, sweet.
It's hoppy, definitely hoppy in that barley wine, you know, strong ale kind of space.
It's a little 12% sweet,
12% ABV, folks.
I think it needs to age a while. I think it's too young.
Yeah, there's something on the finish here.
Years.
Yeah, I'm getting some spiciness.
It's going to be your rating for this, everybody.
So, yeah, some of those hops need to kind of fade out a little bit.
Juliana, what's going to be your rating for this? All right. So our Suds rating here for the Zebulon Barley Wine... Extravaganza, what's it called?
Rye barley wine.
Rye barley wine is going to be a 4.
It's a creative name.
Wow.
Well, there you go. What's like the I hidden, was really paying attention.
What's to the hidden with. Message there?
Yeah.
Okay, quickly, take your Joey.
Yeah.
Try it quickly and see if you notice anything different.
Coming off. Hang on. I got to sip some water.
It's even better.
Ooh, that is like twice as good. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. That'll kick it up
that
a notch.
That is all good.
Let it warm up.
It's yep, like a glass sure. of honey.
Well, we really hope you enjoyed this episode and our grab bag episode. Listen, if you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Hey, Kendall, please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out of Twitter every day at Sipsode Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news, fake or otherwise. You'll be able to interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. Okay. That's a great big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. 5 stars. Well, I really enjoyed everybody with this grab bag episode.
Grab bag.
I think you did really good, Dave.
Yeah, it was fun. Nice choices. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Solid you know, beers. These were not all bottom feeders. I was expecting the worst.
I'm amazing. Actually, Juliana picked them all.
Well, thanks for joining us, Juliana.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good old boy Kendall, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Good old boy Sean, thank you.
Good to be back and happy to be here.
Good old boy Dave.
Hey, feel free to grab my bag.
Hey-o.
With lube or without lube?
Hey, the
raspberry.
Surprise me.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike from Sip, Suds, and Smokes asking you to come back and join another episode. And I'm going to ask you to keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.